made it a four-run inning, and now Prado jolts it to deep right field, and gone! He has driven in three tonight.
And the Royals, offensively, they're clicking a little bit now as they score nine and win 9-1 over the White Sox last night. Royals doing their damage early in the game, four in the bottom of the first, and that certainly helps your starting pitcher. Brad Keller allows one run, three hits. He walked four. He's 3-3 on the season. Royals offense, 14 hits. Michael Massey, a solo homer in the fourth. Nick Prado, you heard the two-run shot to put the Royals up 7-1 in the fifth. Edward Olivares went deep in the seventh as well. Matt Cotrero, the manager of the Royals, pleased with the offense.
Lance Lynn can be tough because he really locates, and a lot of his pitches just tunnel off each other. And I thought the guys did a good job of their approach, picking a side, I think, and looking for something to drive. Now, they were able to execute it, which was great, and they used the whole field. The home runs, obviously, were big, and it was just nice that it was production up and down. We had some walks, some tough at-bats that we fought through. Yeah, really positive night overall for the offense.
Royals are 11 wins, 27 losses on the season. White Sox are 13-24. The teams finish off the four-game set today at 1-10. Royals have a chance to win their second series of the year. 1-10 today.
That's actually been postponed.
All right.
Yeah,
postponed.
I just saw that right before I got in here.
All right.
I don't have that date right in front of me, but they're not playing today.
All right. So that's been postponed for the Royals against the White Sox today. So the Royals win the series, right?
Yeah.
2-1.
Right
that's
now,
how
they
I'm
got
gonna,
it
that's
done.
How I'm
yeah.
going to look at it. Brady Singer was supposed to start for the boys in blue today. There is other breaking news to pass along to you. KU big man Ernest Uday is transferring. This is catching a few people by surprise. He probably wouldn't have started based on what the Jayhawks have done, brought in Hunter Dickinson, but many people thought he'd have a very important role on this team. Former McDonald's All-American again. There we go. MJ Rice was McDonald's All-American. So we get caught up in this. Kansas gets all these McDonald's All-Americans. That doesn't mean they're going to play or they're going to stay very long. 6'11 freshman Orlando played sparingly last year. I thought he had all kinds of potential. Averaged just 8 minutes per game, but he had flashes. And I don't know about this one. This one, we'll see. But he will transfer. He probably knew that he probably wouldn't start. Maybe he wanted to start. So he is transferring out. Former Nebraska quarterback Casey Thompson has committed to Florida Atlantic. He joins the Owls for his final season eligibility. The one-time Texas signee, and then, of course, Nebraska quarterback, reunites with his old coach, Tom Herman, who was the one who recruited him and had him at Texas. He was hired in December to take over Florida Atlantic after a couple of years away from coaching. So there's some transfer stuff, and we can't even keep up with the transfer stuff because KU, basically their entire roster, it's so it seems, in men's basketball. Kind of like K-State's situation last offseason. Only two guys were still remaining after everything, Masood and Noel, and now Masood's transferring. So the Jayhawks next year will have two scholarship players left for now from last year's team. Only two, just like K-State.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
What a crazy composition for the potential number one team in the country. That's right. There are a lot of people saying KU could be preseason number one. Uday averaged 2.5 points, 1.3 rebounds last season, but he is transferring out. So, you know, I don't like all the transfers myself. I think there's way too many of them. But as Dusty said recently, it's free agency. Hunter Dickinson, you know, was honest about it. A quote came out, said, you know, if you can get $10,000 more somewhere else than where you are, why wouldn't you do it? And certainly implying that he was offered more money to go to KU than to stay at Michigan. And if it's legal and it's allowed, yeah. I mean, are you going to turn down a $10,000 raise at your job? I guess if you're making $1.1 million, $10,000 won't matter. But if you're making $38,000 and they give you a $10,000 raise, or not raise, you got $38,000 is your salary where you are, $48,000, $58,000, and somebody across the street's going to offer you $10,000 more, you're probably going to seriously consider it and more than likely take it or make the previous employer or your current employer match it, right?
Yes.
And if Michigan, I'm sure, was, I bet Hunter Dickinson said, well, if you want me to stay, you got to match it. And Michigan's like, we can't do that. Okay, I'm going to KU. This is what we have. It is college sports. Whether you like it or not, this is where we are.
Yeah, that's where we're at. It's what it is.
It is what it is.
Hey, I got to say, the Royals caught me off guard. Their game today is not postponed.
I was going to say, I didn't think so because I saw something about September game.
Yeah, well, it's like I saw this thing this morning against the White Sox on Thursday at 1:10. I didn't look at the date close enough, apparently.
Yeah, I saw September, so that's what I wondered.
Like, that's a bad thing to do to like postpone a game at Thursday at 1:10 against the White Sox if you're not paying attention, right?
Yeah, okay, so
September 7th is because the Chiefs are going to open their season that day. They're moving the game to September 4th. That's what the deal was. So
now, see, I saw the Chiefs schedule September September 8th. So why would they?
Maybe Thursday, September 7th is what this says.
Okay. Well,
is why they're moving that game on September 7th. Today's game is not postponed. let me make that clear to everybody, since I was not looking at the right date. I thought the opener was at September 8th too, but this says Thursday, September 7th. I don't know.
I looked at this today. Okay, so, yep, CBS must have had it wrong because I have it printed out here. It says September 8th, but now it says Thursday, September 7th. So national stories got it wrong. Should we check the 2023
calendar,
September?
Yeah.
What a freaking concept to actually check a dang calendar. Dear Lord. Here we go. Printable calendar. September, it is the 7th.
Yeah.
Yes, all right. See, that, and it was in the story yesterday, it said September 8th. That would have been a Friday. Apparently people can't read a year and
Dusty can't read. I can't read a month in September instead of May.
Well, when you said that, I was like, that's a second schedule change for today for the Royals.
Yeah.
I saw their September change.
I just saw White Sox Thursday at 1:10 and didn't look at the date. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Misinformation gets out there, Dusty. And we were not going to fall prey to that.
For it.
Way to go, man. Way to go.
It just happens to be the White Sox both times.
It's not even a Monday, man. It's a Thursday. All right, local sports. We'll see if Dusty gets his dates right and names
right. I have the dates right for today. There have been some schedule changes here for today. Before I get into the athlete of the week, I want to go ahead and put those out because they were probably wrong on my sportscast this morning. So baseball for Beloit today at Sacred Heart has been moved up to 2:45 instead of 4 o'clock. So 2:45 this afternoon for Beloit at Sacred Heart in baseball. So if you're heading to Solana, you want to plan accordingly there. Beloit softball is at Ellis. As far as we know, that's still at 4 o'clock this afternoon for that doubleheader. And the NCAA League track and field meet that was scheduled for today in Ellsworth has actually been postponed to tomorrow, and they're going to do that in Solana at Kansas Wesleyan in conjunction with the junior high NCAA League meet. So everything will be at Kansas Wesleyan's field there in Solana. Junior high field events will start at 1:30, the high school at 3 o'clock. So that's a look at the change there for Beloit with their sports in high school baseball and track and field here today. So again, junior high and high school track and field tomorrow in Salina for NCAA League action. Golf MCL League meet, as far as we know, is still scheduled for today in Hayes at 1 o'clock. So that's a look at the schedule here for today. You can always find the latest in local sports at ncksports.com as far as the schedules are concerned. And we'll update all that when we get a chance here. Also, you can find the brackets for regional baseball and softball at ncksports.com. Beloit and Sylvan Lucas Lincoln will both be at the Hoisington Regional, and Beloit's going to open up as the number 6 seed against the number 3 seed Hoisington Central Plains Monday at 4 o'clock. That'll be in Hoisington. And then Sylvan Lucas Lincoln is the number 4 seed against the 5th seed Ellsworth at 4 o'clock. That game will be in Heston. Heston's the number 1 seed, so they're hosting that top quadrant of the regional there on Monday. So let's look at what's going on there in the 4-5 matchup. That's the Hoisington Central Plains Regional. And then regional softball, Beloit's Concordia Regional. They are the number 1 seed with a first round bye. And Concordia is actually the 3 seed against 6 seed Marysville Monday in Concordia. And then Sylvan Lucas Wilson is at the Ellis Regional in 2-1A. They're the number 5 seed against the 4 seed Bennington. And the first games there for Sylvan Lucas will actually be at Brookville on Tuesday. Ellis Lane, the number 1 seed, and hosting those games up on that top bracket quadrant. You can find all that information. It'll make a lot more sense when you look at the brackets there. Again, they're posted at ncksports.com. Also, congratulations to Minneapolis sophomore Brady Weatherman, who's been named the NTCastSports.com Cunningham Teleported Cable Athlete of the Week. Weatherman finished off an outstanding regular season and 2 wins for the Lady Lions over Plainville Stockton Monday afternoon and evening, getting wins on the mound in both games. She pitched 10 total innings, registering 18 strikeouts in the contests and 1 walk, giving up just 1 run and 1 hit in the 2 games combined. Minneapolis won the first game 7-1, took game 2 19-0 in 3 innings with the 18 strikeouts. Weatherman set the Minneapolis school record for single season strikeouts, sitting at 127 heading into the postseason for the 14-6 Lions. Weatherman's been the starter and pitcher of record in all 20 games for Minneapolis. She's pitched 109 2/3 innings, a 3.64 ERA with that 14-6 record. Most of her success has come on the mound, but in 75 plate appearances, 20 hits and 47 at bats, a 4.26 average at the plate. 20 hits on the season with 6 doubles and a triple, driven in 17 and scored 21 runs of her own. And she's also taken 26 walks, struck out just 6 times, and 0 OPS of 1.236 for Brady Weatherman, the Minneapolis sophomore, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. So congratulations to Brady, and if you have a nomination for any Athletes of the Week, you can always check out NCKSSports.com for more information on how to nominate an Athlete of the Week. Again, for all of the latest in local sports, check out NCKSSports.com. We remind everybody, today's baseball for Bullet 245 this afternoon in Solana, and NCAA League track and field schedule for today has been moved to tomorrow in Solana. So those are your changes for today, and all that schedule again posted at the website if you're ever wondering where your favorite teams are playing, when, and where.
All right, NBA playoffs last night. The Knicks and the Warriors stay alive.
Brunson, pull up. 37 for Jalen Brunson. We hit the four-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
Jalen Brunson, a big night for the Knicks. He had 38, and the Knicks win 112-103. They are down 3-2 in the series, though, even with the win. The Warriors stayed alive, beating Lakers at home 121-106. Steph Curry with 27, balanced attack. Andrew Wiggins had 25. Gary Payton Jr. played great. He's now in the starting lineup for the Warriors. Lakers lead the series 3-2, and the big story, Anthony Davis left. He took a shot to the face on an inadvertent elbow from Kevon Looney. He left. The report was he left in a wheelchair. Now, I've seen lots of people take shots to the head, but I don't think I've seen people take an elbow to the head and have to have a wheelchair to help them off. And I don't know how bad it is. I shouldn't say this, but my oldest and I have been talking about this. It's just a matter of time before Chris Paul and Anthony Davis get hurt. And so we were talking about the Warriors coming back from 3-1, and I said, all it takes is one injury to change everything. And my oldest said, well, you know AD's going to get hurt. And then yesterday he fell and somebody like stepped on his finger and he seemed like he milked it, laid on the floor for an extra period of time. He's 6'11", 265, whatever it is. Took an elbow to the face. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. Not saying that at all. And he looked a little out of it. I get that. But two people couldn't assist him off into the locker room. They needed a wheelchair. That seems to be a little dramatic to me.
Yeah.
And then what? Going to act like he's Willis Reed and come back, which he didn't, of course. I knew he wouldn't. So the question is, did he suffer a concussion? If so, will he clear concussion protocol? Will he be ready for game six? And the Lakers more likely need to win game six because you don't want to go back to Golden State in game seven. And in 2016, it was LeBron and the Cavs that came back from 3-1 down to win the NBA Finals and ruined the greatest season in history for the Warriors. Now, 7 years later, Curry and the Warriors could do the same thing LeBron and the Lakers, which I would think be pretty cool because I'm cheering for that. But we don't know what about AD, but all we know is, you know, you're always guaranteed the moon, the sun, the stars. We're not guaranteed it, but if you continue to live, and there's always constants in life, you know, death, taxes, change, and Anthony Davis getting hurt and Chris Paul getting hurt in the playoffs. It's just it's another couple of guarantees.
Yeah. Elbow to the face and leaving in a wheelchair means his balance was probably all jacked up and nobody wanted to move a 7-foot guy.
I guess.
The floor. I don't. That's the best I can come up with if that's the case.
I've never seen a guy get hit in the face with an elbow or arm and have to leave in a wheelchair. I mean, he didn't leave in a wheelchair out of the stadium.
Yeah,
you
just
saw it,
quarter,
but
yeah.
It was behind the closed door, whatever it
yeah.
was. So tonight in the NBA playoffs, the Sixers host the Celtics game six. Celtics have to win to stay alive. Last year, the Celtics are down 3-2 on the road in game six in Milwaukee, won when everybody wrote them off, came back and won game seven, went to the NBA Finals. We'll see if they can repeat that this year as they go to Philly. Philly a chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2001. The Nuggets are up 3-2 in their best of seven with the Suns. Game six tonight in Phoenix at 9 o'clock on ESPN. Nuggets have a chance to wrap up that series tonight. Stay tuned. Bob Huggins, we got lots on that coming up. But first, NHL playoffs.
There's an errant stick on the ice, and it belongs to Bobrovsky. Forsling gives it back to him. That shot, they score! Through heavy traffic from the point. And it's Mitch Marner. He's given Toronto a 2-0 lead.
Maple Leafs go on to win 2-1. They stay alive, avoid being swept. Florida is still the 8th seed. The Panthers are up 3-1 in that best of 7 over the Maple Leafs. The Edmonton Oilers even their series at home with the Las Vegas Golden Knights winning 4-1. That series tied 2-2. Two huge games tonight. Game 5 is on the schedule. The Hurricanes host the Devils. Hurricanes chance to close it out. They're up 3-1 on New Jersey. Puck drops at 6 o'clock on TNT. And then a gigantic game that I'm going to be glued to, the Kraken and the Stars. And it's in Dallas for Game 5. Seattle and Dallas tied at 2-2 in that series. NFL schedule set to be released tonight at 7 o'clock on NFL Network. We will know all 17 game dates and times for the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs and every other team in the league, but we don't care about the Broncos or anybody else.
No.
Two of the games on the Chiefs schedule were announced yesterday, as we talked about on the show. Chiefs are going to play in Frankfurt, Germany against Tyreek Hill and the Miami Dolphins on Sunday, November the 5th. We also know the Chiefs are going to host the Bengals in a rematch of the AFC title game at Arrowhead on New Year's Eve, December the 31st. The league announced this morning that the Chiefs... We were sitting here trying to figure out who the Chiefs are going to play to open up the NFL regular season on a Thursday night. They get their coronation. They'll have the banner and everything else. It'll be a big celebration. We're like, well, the Bills would make the most sense. But I did mention that the Bills started the season last year, and I wondered if they would do that back-to-back years. You know who the Chiefs are going to open up with?
I didn't see that yet.
You haven't?
Huh.
Okay, well, you know what their possibilities are.
Yeah.
So who do you think?
The Bears?
Nope.
Oh, the Chargers.
Nope.
No. Man, Lions.
Yep.
Okay, that's interesting.
The league has announced this morning the Chiefs will host the Lions, who were 9-8 last year, maybe an up-and-coming team. It'll be part of the, well, it'll be the Thursday night NFL opener, kicking off the season from Arrowhead, 7:20 on Thursday, September 7th. Of course, you can listen to the Chiefs all season long, as you've been able to do for the last, the entire Andy Reid tenure on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. Chiefs will host the Lions on Thursday, September the 7th, to open up the NFL season. And then it's also been leaked that the Chiefs are going to play on Christmas Day. I would guess it'll be Christmas night, but it might be Christmas Day. Part of a triple header on Christmas Day, Monday, December 25th. Do you want to take a guess who the Chiefs play on Christmas Day?
The Broncos?
Nope.
That's usually the team they play on those holidays for some reason. The Chargers?
Nope.
No.
You're on a roll.
Have I said it already with an older question you just asked?
I don't
the
think
Bears?
So. No. But you were pretty close. You just stopped with the obvious.
The Raiders.
Yeah, there you go.
Raiders. Yep, they've been some Raiders Christmas games, too.
Yeah, that's right. Chiefs-Raiders on Christmas Day. What stands out to me here is then the Chiefs only have one less day to prepare for the Bengals. They play on a Monday on Christmas Day, maybe Christmas night, and then turn around and play Sunday afternoon against the Bengals. But both games are at home against the Raiders on Christmas Day and New Year's Eve night, or actually New Year's Eve day, December 31st, against the Bengals. And, oh, yeah, on one more thing, that broadcast of the Chiefs-Raiders game will be on CBS at noon, so it won't be a night game. It'll be noon on Christmas Day. It'll also be on Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon. It will mark the latest edition of the NFL Nickmas game.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs-Raiders will get slimed on Nickelodeon during the broadcast. Cool.
Good times.
Ah, absolutely.
Hey, anything going on Christmas Day. It's a perfect time to watch the Chiefs on your TV while you're hanging with your family. And
listen, the NFL.
I'm not going.
The NFL knows that the biggest ratings driver right now is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And so for all these years, I had to see the Broncos being the thing, the Niners, the Cowboys over and over and over. You know, the Patriots, the Steelers, and now it's finally the Chiefs' turn. And the Chiefs dominate the big-time slots here. They're going to kick off the season on Thursday night, which they should. They're the Super Bowl champions. That's what they usually do. They usually have the defending Super Bowl champions have their big night and open up the NFL season. Not always, but that's what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to be on Christmas Day. That's huge. They're going to be overseas, a marquee game over there against the Dolphins in Frankfurt, Germany to help, you know, push the brand of the NFL in Germany, which is huge. And they're going to be on New Year's Eve Day against the Bengals. They'll be on Monday Night Football a few times, I can assure you of that. I mean, the Chiefs are in a lot of big-time slots in every one of the networks. CBS, obviously ESPN Monday Night Football, CBS, Fox, NBC, everybody wants the Chiefs. And so this is the fight now, because now every game is a free agent, basically. So you're not going to have the set AFC games on CBS, NFC games on Fox. So the Chiefs could be at some different times than we're used to even the last few years, different dates as we're starting to see. I mean, they're playing on a Thursday. They're playing on a Christmas Day. They're playing on a Monday, of course, there. But a Monday afternoon, they're playing on a Sunday. I'm sure they'll play Sunday evening at some point.
They'll be at least
a few times. I mean, the Chiefs, we talked about last year, they didn't have very many noon kickoffs like they used to.
And it's going to be maybe even worse this year.
I agree.
Right? Because of all the stuff we already know.
Well, 8:30 in the morning in Frankfurt, Germany.
Exactly, yeah.
Hard time.
All the stuff we already know about their schedule looks like it's probably maybe going to be like four noon games, maybe, if we're lucky this year.
I mean, we know of what? Four that we go. We got the opener. We know of the Christmas Day and New Year's Eve Day. So we know of three of the Chiefs games right now.
And then Germany. opener, Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah, right.
And
so we know four of the 17, and none of them are.
Those are at noon.
Well, actually,
I guess the Christmas Day one is, but
it's on a Monday.
It's a Monday, yeah.
But it's a Monday at noon. So very odd stuff. Hey, if you're wondering about Aaron Rodgers, his first game as a member of the New York Jets will be at home on Monday Night Football, the first Monday Night game of the year, September 11th, against the Buffalo Bills, Jets Bills. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback against Josh Allen.
That makes sense.
Picking the Bills to win. Okay, let's turn our attention to the Bob Huggins situation. I want to allow ourselves a little bit of time here because I want to read these full statements. Bear with me. You can follow along online. But Bob Huggins, as of now, will return as a head coach of West Virginia men's basketball. Here is the full statement from West Virginia President E. Gordon G. and Director of Athletics Wren Baker, and I quote, "On Monday, May 8th, head men's basketball coach Bob Huggins was interviewed on a Cincinnati radio show where he used derogatory and offensive language. It was inexcusable. It was a moment that unfairly and inappropriately hurt many people and has tarnished West Virginia University. It is also a moment that provides the opportunity for learning, a moment that can shine a light on the injustice and hate that often befall the members of our marginalized communities. While the university has never and will never condone the language used on Monday, we will use this moment to educate how the casual use of inflammatory language and implicit bias affect our culture, our community, our health, and our well-being. To begin, the Athletics Department of West Virginia will partner with West Virginia University's LGBTQ Plus Center to develop annual training sessions that will address all aspects of inequality, including homophobia, transphobia, sexism, ableism, and more. The training and programming will be required of Coach Huggins and all current and future athletics coaching staff. Next, according to the Williams Institute, West Virginia has the highest percentage of transgender youth in the nation. To address the concerns of our West Virginia youth, Coach Huggins will be required to meet with LGBTQ plus leaders from across West Virginia with guidance from the leadership of West Virginia University's LGBTQ plus center. We want to partner with ACLU West Virginia, Fairness, West Virginia, Morgantown Pride, and other organizations to elevate the conversation regarding the issues that affect our state. Through those conversations, we expect Coach Huggins, in accordance with these partners, to engage in additional opportunities to show support for the LGBTQ plus community. Coach Huggins also will be required to meet with leadership from West Virginia's Caruth Center to better understand the mental health crisis facing our college students, particularly those in marginalized communities. It is expected he will work with the center and the university to raise awareness on how we can best support our students' health and well-being. The annual compensation of Coach Huggins will be reduced by $1 million. Those dollars will be used to directly support West Virginia University's LGBTQ plus center, the Caruth Center, and other state and national organizations that support marginalized communities. University leadership will seek input from these organizations to determine how to best utilize those funds. We also take seriously the disparaging way in which the Catholic faith was characterized in the comments. Coach Huggins personally volunteered, and West Virginia University agrees that he will make a substantial donation to Xavier University to support its Center for Faith and Justice and its Center for Diversity and Inclusion. In addition, the following actions have been taken because of this incident. One, Coach Huggins will be suspended for the first three regular season games of the 2023-24 season. And two, his current employment contract will be amended from a multi-year agreement to a year-by-year agreement that begins on May 10th of this year and ends on April 30th of 2024. We have made it explicitly clear to Coach Huggins that any incidents of similar derogatory and offensive language will result in immediate termination. I call that zero tolerance policy.
Mm-hmm.
We will never truly know the damage that has been done by the words said in those 90 seconds. Words matter, and they can leave scars that can never be seen, but words can also heal. And by taking this moment to learn more about another's perspective, speak respectfully, and lead with understanding, perhaps the words "do better" will lead to meaningful change for all. End of statement from West Virginia President E. Gordon G. and Director of Athletics at West Virginia, Wren Baker. Bob Huggins came out with a statement and said, and I quote, "Over the past 48 hours, I have reflected on the awful words that I shared on a radio program earlier this week. I deeply regret my actions, the hurt they unfairly caused others, and the negative attention my words have brought to West Virginia University. I also regret the embarrassment and disappointment it has caused our athletics family, members of our campus community, and the state of West Virginia. I am sorry for the hurt and distress I have caused our students and our student athletes. I represent more than just our university and our basketball program, and it pains me to know that I have let so many people down. Huggins goes on to say in a statement, I have no excuse for the language I used, and I take full responsibility. I will abide with the actions outlined by the university and athletics leadership to learn from this incident. I have had several conversations with colleagues and friends that I deeply respect and admire over the past 24 hours, and I'm keenly aware of the pain that I have caused. I meant what I wrote on Monday. I will do better. I am looking forward to working West Virginia University's LGBTQ plus center and other state organizations to learn more about the issues facing the community. As a leader, I am eager to use my platform to take what I learn and share it with a broader audience. I also regret my comments regarding Xavier University. I am hopeful that my personal donation to the university's supported Center for Faith and Justice and its Center for Diversity and Inclusion will further the work it does and the impact it has on its students. Huggins concluded in his statement, West Virginia and West Virginia University are my home. I love this university and know firsthand that the education and experiences students receive here make a difference. I am truly sorry for the damage I have done, and I'm grateful for the chance to move forward in a way that positively represents this university and our state. End of statement from Bob Huggins. We'll get Dusty's quick input, and I'm going to get input from a couple of... One is a former politician who's an openly gay West Virginian, and then there's also a sports reporter from Denver. I thought she had a unique perspective. She's an openly gay sports reporter. I believe she used to work in Wichita. But... The punishment for the consequence, the punishment for Bob Huggins. Do you think this is enough? Do you think this is the way to go about it? Do you think he should have been fired? Do you think he should be suspended for more games? Do you think he should lose more money? Do you think it's significant? Do you think it's enough? Do you think it's not? Quick thoughts there.
It's all so hard. I don't think he should have been fired. I'll put that out there okay. Right now. I'm kind of tired of people losing their jobs immediately from
cancel culture
for words. Exactly, that's 100% what it is. And I know some people don't like that phrase, but that's what it is.
It is.
If you lose your job 5 minutes after you say something like this, that's cancel culture. You've been canceled, mm-hmm. And so I'm actually. Like, obviously don't condone what he said, clearly. But for guys to just continually lose their jobs because of one thing, does that erase 30 years of what they've done, right? Or however long it is for an individual
right.
in a situation, whatever it might be. So I don't think he should have been fired. I think maybe the suspension should be a little more than 3 games based on everything else that we've seen. I'm thinking like 10.
Agreed.
Get the non-con games, and if you're going to do that at the beginning of the year, give me 10 non-con games at the start of the year, and then whatever, you can come back in late December or January, whenever the schedule would fall on that. But I'd say about 10 games. I like the $1 million isn't going to affect him a lot. It's going from 4.2 to 3.2, but I do like the fact that that's being donated to other places to make sure that they're taken care of as well. And so I think that's, I mean, what, I don't know about the money. If it's 1 million, 2 million, I don't think whatever they take away from him is not going to hurt him. And you
right.
still got to pay him, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to fire him. So I think that's all right. I think I probably would have just done 10 games and everything else. I mean, if he does everything that he says he's going to do and that West Virginia is telling him to do,
mm-hmm.
then I think a lot of that will take care of itself on the back end of what's right socially, what's right for social justice and things like that. I think they've got that part of it right.
If you're caught up in the games that he's going to miss 3 games as of now. Missouri State at home, Monmouth at home, and Jacksonville State at home. That doesn't seem like much of a punishment in regards to the suspension of games. Then they have the Fort Myers tip-off, Bellarmine, St. John's, Big 12 Big East, Big 12 Big East battle, Pitt at home, which is a huge rivalry mm-hmm. game, Drexel. I'm looking at this. Let's see. There'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you did 10 games, he'd miss the Hall of Fame Classic against Massachusetts. He'd be back December 20th for Radford.
Yeah.
I think that would have been
all right. Make him miss games that are actually meaningful, like Pitt and mm-hmm. the St. John's game, which is part of the Big East Big 12 Challenge.
I mean, agree with you.
I mean, you're not doing anything. Like, it's very, very, very much similar to the Bill Self suspension, right? Like, it's
right.
And I know Bill Self missed an important game to start the season.
Right.
But I guess, an important opponent. It wasn't really an important game because KU knows where they're going to be, and they're going to make the tournament and be challenging for a one seed no matter what. But for West Virginia, those are very important games.
Yeah, I mean, you could have said it all the way through December if you wanted to.
Yeah,
that would have been about 15
games. Just get it right at the end of non-con, and when Big 12 play starts, end of December, come on in.
Could have missed Ohio State game on December 30th. So, yeah, my perspective real quick is that I think to me, a couple things that are being overlooked in this punishment, and that's what it is. It is a punishment. Let me find it again. I think one of the things that's very interesting is being overlooked with his punishment. I think is significant. I mean, clearly the reduced by $1 million, so he goes from $4.2 to $3.2 million a year. So he loses $1 million every year in his contract for the rest of the contract. I would imagine that's what it says. They're reducing it annually. The suspension for 3 regular season games, that's a joke, that part. Why even bother, in my opinion? I agree with you. 10, I think, would have been good. 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range. You could have argued until January 1, suspended until the end of this year. You could have technically done that. Yep. But the thing that stands out to me, well, the zero tolerance policy, that's obvious.
Sure, yeah.
But the thing that stands out to me is they amended his multi-year agreement to one-year deals. So this is a year-by-year agreement. So it gives them all kinds of flexibility if they get tired of Bob Huggins, or if he says something else that they don't like, but it isn't offensive, or if he doesn't perform
as
a coach.
Like, that's
it gives
the
them an out.
Yeah.
And I don't know about I would imagine the buyout.
Can't be a buyout if it's a year rollover, right?
So that's,
as long as you don't fire him in the middle of the season.
Right.
To pay the rest of what his contract would be for that year, I can't imagine there can be any kind of a buyout with
not
a one-year rollover.
Right, deal. I know. So that's the thing that stands out to me is he had the security of multi-year agreement and buyouts, and now he doesn't. To me, that's the biggest punishment for Bob Huggins.
Yeah, absolutely. And that doesn't mean if he says anything, like you said, if he has a bad year or two back-to-back and they just want to get rid of him, there's no reason they can't.
Yeah.
I mean,
it gives them flexibility.
Yeah, there's nothing that holds them back financially from saying, hey, goodbye, Bob.
Absolutely. That's the one.
And,
really,
he's a West Virginia guy, so you know, you would think that if he continues to do well, make the tournament and things like that, they're not probably asking him to win national championships, but it is interesting to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here's some unique perspectives on the Bob Huggins situation. I found a few of these on Twitter, and I thought they're interesting, and I want to share with our listeners on this, and I want them to listen very carefully to them. And once again, these are not my words, but I think it's very important for us to listen to perspectives from both sides. I don't want to get too political about this, because I think it should be simple, and our elected officials don't seem to do this anymore, or they claim they do, but they don't, and that is listening to each other. I know it's a novel concept, but actually, instead of yelling at each other and saying, you're a horrible person, you're a horrible person, you don't agree with me, oh, you're a Democrat, oh, you're a Republican, I'm not going to listen to you, and then only watch one TV channel your entire life and somehow think it's all facts. And that's
whichever channel that is.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm talking to all of you that watch CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, all of you. Okay, it's okay to flip the channel and see, you know, like I said, you should probably watch an hour of MSNBC or CNN and an hour of Fox News and then see where you fall, you know, to be quite honest with you, because you're getting far left and far right. Or, you know, watch PBS. That's probably the best one that's closest to the middle. But it is important, I think, for us to respect people's opinions, but also to understand different perspectives. So here's the lazy take. I'm going to give you the lazy take. And this is the cancel culture take for people that are out there that immediately want everything to just, you know, immediately want to overreact and immediately want, you know, somebody's head on a stick. All right. And that type of thinking is like this. He only got 3 games. He should have been fired. That's about it. That's pretty much it. He said that slur not once, but twice. And then there's the video of Tom Brenneman, and he should have learned from that mistake, his good friend who got fired for the same type of thing. So why, if it was a new coach, he'd be fired. So why isn't Bob Huggins fired? Which I brought up the other day, and it is a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
But what about people? Like, see, I'm not the community that he shot a slur at, okay? You aren't. I'm not. So what do people in that community or those communities think about the Bob Huggins situation? So I pulled up a couple of them that I found that I thought were intriguing and interesting, because I think a lot of people just think everybody in the LGBTQ plus community just automatically wants Bob Huggins, you know, fired. That's not true. That's not true. So this is coming from Ariel Orsodo, or Osudo.
Or Osudo, yeah.
Osudo. She used to be at Wichita.
Yep.
She is an openly gay sports reporter at Channel 9 News in Denver. And here's what she put on Twitter, and I found it interesting. She says, and I quote, "Honestly, probably this punishment for Coach Huggins is more impactful than a firing. If he's let go, he's let free. Now he has to truly face consequences for his words. It's not about the suspension for me, because I agree with a suspension of three non-cons being a joke. But losing your salary and being forced to admit your wrongs over and over and over is way more of a punishment. If he's fired, he can shrug his shoulders and keep believing he was wronged." I think that's a very good point.
Yes.
Very good point. For all of you that want Huggins fired, you really probably are letting him off the hook. And then as West Virginia said in their statement, these can actually be learning experiences. Mm-hmm. Now, we can learn from these things. Why not work together to learn from it? And Coach Huggins is 69, but we can all learn something new no matter how old we are. So that's a sports reporter, openly gay sports reporter. That is an interesting perspective. At least I thought so. Did you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So instead of an eye for an eye, you know, and let's just go ahead and, you know, boom, he's done. She's like, no, this he's going to have to deal with this now. He's going to have to answer questions in the media because he's still the coach of West Virginia. He's going to be watched very, very closely. If he gets fired, he can go off and go to the beach and go to another country, buy a place, and live like a hermit if he wants to. You know, Bob Huggins has enough money to do that. Here's another perspective. This is from a politician. Joshua Higginbotham, he is a Republican, was a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates representing District 13. He assumed office in 2016. He left office on November 5th of 2021. So he's in office for 4 to 5 years. Here's what Joshua Higginbotham said. Okay, this is a Republican member of the West Virginia House of Delegates. Or was. He says, and I quote, and I want people to really listen to this because I thought he made some great points. Did you read this?
I did. I read that whole thread. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read it and I'll get your comments. Joshua Higginbotham says this, and I quote, "I've had a lot of friends ask me what I think about this whole Coach Bob Huggins situation going on at West Virginia University, so I just like to make an ironic point about how low we have become as a society. Popular or not, here's what I think as an openly gay West Virginian. Some in the LGBT community who are now trying to attack or cancel Coach Bob Huggins were just defending Bud Light a few weeks ago from conservatives who wanted to boycott the company. Similarly, many of those same conservatives who are now defending Coach Huggins were just attacking Bud Light for saying something they didn't agree with a few weeks ago. Do I agree with what Coach Huggins said? No. It was offensive, but he apologized. Should he have said it? Obviously not. But it doesn't mean he should necessarily lose his job over it. Do I think Bud Light's marketing strategy was a smart move? No. Their sales are down from last year because of it. Should you cancel an entire company, which employs tens of thousands of hardworking people because of something one of their PR executives did? No, obviously not. My point is that cancel culture has simply gone too far and is being used by both the far left and the far right for political gain to distract you from the real issues. And you are all falling for it." I agree. This is something I've been trying to say for a while. We in society may think we're super smart. And there's some of us that may be very super smart. But we all at one point or another have fallen victim, in essence, of kind of being brainwashed a little bit. From the standpoint of, we have become lemmings and followers instead of leaders ourselves. And so what this former politician is saying, and he is a Republican, he is saying both sides are doing this. Both sides are hypocrites. And both sides do this to distract you from what you really should be talking about. Should you really be all up in arms? Like, is your life completely changed and altered because there's something on a beer can that you don't like? Is your life completely and truly altered because Bob Huggins made a slur in a radio interview? The answer is no.
Neither one of those things affected my life personally.
Didn't my life. Now, they might offend you in a certain way, but anybody can, I mean, here's the thing. I would be willing to bet you that probably, possibly, every day of your life, somebody said something or done something or you've read something that's offended you. If you go ahead and cancel every single thing that offended you, you have nothing left. I mean, I'm sure I've offended Dusty with something I've said over the years we've worked together. I'm sure he's said something that's offended me or bothered me or likewise back and forth. That happens between friends. I guarantee it, my wife and I have said things to each other that I'm sure I rubbed her the wrong way and she's rubbed me the wrong way. My kids have done it. Do I just cancel out my kids and my wife? I mean, come on, people. Let's be smarter than this. Don't let all of these people that supposedly are leaders, and they're not, elected officials, don't let all of this politic diversion and division, and it is diversion, don't let it rule your life. Don't let it ruin your life. Okay? I mean, this politician, he's a former politician. He is a Republican. And I know we are in a mostly Republican area here in North Central Kansas. That's been proven every time we have an election. And, you know, we got the local votes and it's 80% Republican, at least, if not more. So let that sink in. This is a Republican that says, listen, and he seems to me coming like an independent to me. And that's where I always stand or try to. And he's basically saying, listen, all of you, you know, you on the far left that was defending the Bud Light deal now are attacking and want to cancel Coach Huggins. Well, he's basically saying you're hypocrites. And for those of you on the right sitting here saying, well, you know, you want to go after Bud Light and you want to take all the stuff off the shelves and this and that and whatever else, but then you say, but then at the same time you defend Coach Huggins. You know, you can't have it both ways is what he's saying here. It's what he's basically saying. And I agree that to me, if you don't want to buy a certain product, whether it's pop, beer, food, then don't. You don't have to make a theater experience out of it. I mean, what is wrong with, I mean, to me, all those people that do that have mental health issues. I mean, if you're going into a public place and ripping beers off of shelves and throwing them on the floor in an aisle, first of all, that's you're destructing property. You should be arrested for it. Okay. You're destroying property. That isn't yours. You didn't buy it. Okay. So if I came to your home and grabbed everything out of the fridge and threw it on the ground, do you think that'd be okay? Those people that did that, you saw these videos that went viral, you think they would be cool with that? If somebody just came in their house and raided their fridge and threw out stuff they didn't like? Like, well, you just bought milk. Well, I'm pouring it out. I mean, no. Okay? And for those of you that say, well, you immediately cancel, or not cancel, but fire somebody when they made a mistake and said something wrong. So should everybody that makes a mistake be fired immediately? The answer to me is no.
It's a case-by-case basis.
Right. And here's the thing.
Pattern? Is it right. Something that you just did? Or, you know.
And it is a case-by-case situation because you've got people that are more famous or are well-known. They're under a bigger microscope, and it's magnified what they say. But if Joe Blow or Jan or Wally or whoever they are, they say that in North Central Kansas, they're not getting fired for it. But more than likely, they're not going to get fired for it. And one, they're not going to be on a radio show where everybody hears it, right? So
yeah.
There are a lot of things that we do. All of us are guilty of it. Don't sit here and act like you don't. I'm not saying I don't. We all say things that are offensive to somebody. I mean, if you make fun of somebody that's overweight, should you be fired? I mean, should, if you make fun of somebody that is skin and bones and has no meat on them, should you be fired? If you make fun of somebody that is short, I have friends that are short. I've made some jokes a few times, and I found out later on, they laughed about it, but I found out from one that they didn't appreciate my joke. So I offended them. Now, did they cancel me out? Do we never talk? Are we not friends anymore? I don't know. I mean, I run into them. We've talked before. You know, I mean, and I'm sure I know of things that people have said that offended me. But you know what? Get over it. I guess that's the point I got to get to for everybody. We got to get over it. We make things so, and I'm guilty of it. I'm very guilty of it. We make things so personal, and a lot of times it's not even designed to be personal. And then we may take things personal that really don't have any effect on us. Like if you're going to get all you're going to get all mad about something on some kind of product, you have the right to get mad about it. Don't get me wrong. You have a right to be mad about it. You have a right to boycott that product. But I don't know if that gives you the right to just go ahead and destroy property. You know, if you don't like a comment by Bob Huggins or somebody else, I don't think that gives you the right to go ahead and ransack his property. You know?
It sure doesn't.
Not legally, he doesn't. So I think we all got to chill out a little bit. And I'm talking to everybody because I think it has been amplified since COVID. I don't think there's any doubt there's a correlation to this. And yes, I know there's cancel culture before that, but it's just gone. It's blown out of proportion. Now, you may be listening to the show right now and you may say, you know what? I think Bob Huggins should have been fired. You have the right to that opinion.
Absolutely.
You absolutely. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm not going to tell you're wrong because you're not. It's your opinion. If you think Bob Huggins should have been fired, if you're a member of the LGBT or LGBTQ plus communities or whatever it may be, if you're offended and you listen, you can eat. I respect that you think Bob Huggins should be fired. That I respect it. I do. I get it. Now, if you're the bigger thing is, if you're a West Virginia basketball fan and you're part of these communities, or you're offended whether you're a part of the community or not, are you going to still support West Virginia basketball? Or are you going to still support Bob Huggins? Are you a donor for West Virginia now? Because here's where you can really feel the impact. Don't donate anymore to West Virginia basketball. Don't go to the games and spend money on tickets for West Virginia basketball. Does that hurt other people? Yeah, but that's what Bob Huggins created because of what he said. So if you really, the going and destroying property is not the way to solve anything, okay? Immediately firing people left and right, I don't think is a way to solve anything either. I think, like Dusty said, it's a case-by-case situation. But if you're upset with a company because of some message that you don't like, then quit buying the product. Just quit buying it. That's what you can control. Listen, I'll tell you, there is a restaurant. I won't name the restaurant. It does not advertise with us. And it's been around in North Central Kansas. I do not go there anymore. I went there and I had the waiter brought the glasses of water with his finger in the glass, in all of them. Our water then was, empty, got no refills. They brought back a refill of somebody else's drink and delivered it to our table instead of the table across. Our food was cold. Our food was not hot. We did not have silverware. I had to get up and go manually myself go get it. When I walked out of the restaurant to pay, okay, I go up to the person who is the owner of that establishment, and she says, "How was your meal? How was everything?" And I was not mean about it. I just said it actually wasn't very good. And I had eaten there before. Mm-hmm. I said it was not very good because of the things I just told you right now on the radio. And her reaction was, "Oh." And then she said, "That'll be $38.42." She didn't offer a discount. She didn't say, "I'm sorry." So she asked me how things were, but she didn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. Or she didn't care. Well, she lost this family's money that we went there a few times a month. She lost that. Did I go on the radio and just rip this person? No. Did I go back into the restaurant later and rip everything out of the kitchen? No. Did I go back in and take glasses and throw them against windows? Did I break in and ransack the place? No. You know what I did? Walking out, I said, "That's the last time I'm ever eating here." Mm-hmm. And I've never gone back. That's the way I control it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I really hurt their bottom line, but that is my choice.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to make a frickin' spectacle of it. Okay? I didn't have to go around and say, "This person should be fired," or "This restaurant should go out of business." And there are people here in North Central Kansas that go online telling all the horrible things that happen in a certain place, and they don't even think about the people they affect. "Well, I had a horrible experience at this place," or "I had a horrible experience at this place." And it's like, yeah, now you're telling people not to go to that place, and then there are high school kids trying to make money that might work at this place, or people that bust their asses working for that business that maybe aren't the owner or even the manager, or maybe it's a manager doing the best they can, but their hands are tied behind their back because of the owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go ahead and just blast them on social media. But if somebody did that to you, if you had a bad day, or if something went wrong that you did wrong, or you said something came out the wrong way, then guess what? You wouldn't like it.
No.
You'd be mad as hell about it. So maybe it goes back to the thing I've preached 1,000 times over the years I've been here, and that is the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. So for me, if I had somebody that was upset with my service, and they decide, you know what, I'm not dealing with Wade anymore. I don't like Wade anymore. He upset me. I don't want to talk to Wade about it, even though that might be the best thing to do. But if you don't want to, fine. So I'm just going to not make a big stink about it, but I'm just not going to do business with Wade or Dusty or whoever it might be. There you go. That's fine. You know, that's your choice. And perhaps we made mistakes, or I made a mistake, or we all make mistakes is the point. But make a mountain out of a molehill in some situations is it's beyond crazy. And we've got to understand that it's a knee-jerk reaction. We do it in sports. This is a sports talk show. We immediately say, this guy should be fired. This guy should be put on the bench. This guy stinks. This guy is horrible. Whatever else. And we're all guilty of talking about it like that at times on the show over the years. Trust me, we're hypocrites as well. But this former politician, who happened to be a Republican, who also is openly gay in West Virginia, says that, no, Bob Huggins should not be fired. Everything he said is inappropriate. It is offensive. But just like you shouldn't fire Bob Huggins, you also shouldn't cancel an entire company that employs tens of thousands of people because you're not happy with something that you saw on a social media post or on a can or whatever, if it's on a food box, whatever it may be. And I agree with him. We've got to be more in the middle instead of so far this way and that way. And it's a big problem in our society today. And I don't think it's going to get any better.
No, it's...
And people want immediately fire Bob Huggins, but they don't take the time to actually understand the whole situation, which maybe once you research it, find out about the whole situation, you would still say fire Bob Huggins. But when you all you do is look at, he got a 3-game suspension. Oh, yep, slap on the wrist. Yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff that goes with this punishment that people don't take the time to. So then they spread stuff on social media. You see Huggins only got 3 games? What a freaking joke. I mean, if that was anybody else, he would have been fired. Yeah, but you don't talk about he's getting $1 million less a year. Oh, okay, that doesn't bother you. Fine, whatever. He's got plenty of money, Wade. Okay, well, he now won't get a buyout. He can be fired year by year. There's no buyout. He's now on a year-by-year agreement. He's a zero-tolerance policy, and Bob Huggins can be outspoken at times. I mean, there are some consequences here. And not only that, he's going to have to answer these questions over and over and over, and he might not like it, but he brought it on himself, and that's where the sports reporter Denver says, listen, he's going to have to deal with his mistake. He's going to have to deal with it head on if he wants to stay as a head coach of West Virginia. So he will probably learn from this. And if he can learn from it, make things better for other people, and have an appreciation for a community that he offended, then that's actually a good thing. That something good can come out of it. But immediately we just like, boom, done, over, done. He should be fired. He's a horrible person. He made a mistake. I'm not going to tell you he should or should not be fired. That's up to you, your own opinion, because it doesn't really matter what I think. The bottom line is, he screwed up. Now he's going to deal with it. And it would be better for him to deal with it like this, or would you rather him be fired and then he never has to answer and deal with and try to work with other people to make things better because of his mistake? Myles Leonard offended a whole community. NBA player got him run out of the league. He just now got back in the league. There's a whole interview and story on it that how he went and understood the Jewish community. And that now he's part of that community. And he didn't know so many things. He was naive and young, and he just said something inappropriate. And he just didn't know what he was talking about. Honestly, that's what he says. And now he's a better person for it. And he's done great things for that community. See, those are good things that came out of his mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, did it cost him money? Hell yeah, it cost him a lot of money. Cost him basically his career. Maybe it shouldn't have been that extreme, but he basically got blackballed out of the league because of what he said. And yes, it's a case-by-case situation. There are some people get away with saying more than others. That is very true. Very, very true. Also, there is a precedent. If you have a reputation, you aren't going to be cut as much slack if you do it again and again and again. That's what we talk about with Draymond Green, with the flagrant fouls, this, and other people, right? You have a reputation. We told our kids, if you get in trouble once at school, that's one thing. You made a mistake, right? But if you get in trouble 4 or 5 times, do you know what happens the 6th time when there's some kind of problem? The teacher's administration immediately believe you're the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And it might not be you at all.
Yeah.
But you have created that reputation.
Yeah.
So it is up to Bob Huggins to not further that reputation, stop it in its tracks, and do good things. So I think this is not a horrible thing. I mean, it's not. These are words, and words hurt. But there could be a lot of good that comes out of it. And I will say that I think West Virginia has thought long and hard about it. They a very extensive, long statement, very specific. I think Bob Huggins has said, you know, he's come out. He hasn't made any excuses. He's admitted he screwed up. And so let's see what happens. He's on a zero-tolerance policy. Okay, he's not like Bob Knight, who had all kinds of anger management issues, right? And yeah. And put his arms around a throat of a player and this and that and verbal abuse and whatever. This is Bob Huggins. He's highly respected in the coaching community. We have Josh Eilert works for him on the staff. He's from Osborne, and he thinks the world of Bob Huggins. And so you could argue Bob Huggins deserves a second chance. Some people say you don't deserve a second chance the first time you screw up. That should be it, which maybe, well, obviously it depends on the situation. You know, if you do something, you know, really horrible, like, you know, take somebody's life. Yeah, that don't, you probably shouldn't get a second chance necessarily. You know, there are different situations for different cases, but when it comes to this, it is very interesting, to say the least. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I do. Some of the things you talked about in there kind of trigger some reactions in my mind.
Sure.
And there's two of them that come to mind. And the first thing I'll say is I think a lot of there's a lot of virtue signaling out there. Like, people are upset about things that aren't affecting them. And
exactly.
They don't talk to people that it might affect to see if they're actually upset about
right.
it. And so that's part of cancel culture. That is out there. There's no question. And I think there's also a lot of people out there that don't think for themselves.
Agreed.
And they think that because Tom Brenneman got fired for saying this, Bob Huggins immediately needs to be fired for saying a similar thing.
Right.
And that's a buddy, too. So you can put it all together, right? It's a clean thing that, oh, I heard this from somebody, and my decision is he should be fired. I've not thought about it. I don't care about
right.
it. But if this guy says he should be fired and this guy got fired for it, he should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end-all be-all. They don't care. They don't think about it. They don't go with it. The one that really stuck out about what you were talking about, and West Virginia gets it because it's part of his, you know, punishment, therapy, whatever. Some of that money is going to be given back to Xavier, to the Catholic community.
Yeah.
The Myers Leonard thing stuck out to me because if, like I said the other day, if he says a different F word behind Catholic,
yes,
we're not talking about this today.
Absolutely.
So Who's going to bat right now for the Catholic
right.
community?
Right. I mean, yeah, right.
I don't see that.
Wouldn't that be offensive
anyway.
To Catholics?
I'm right. Catholic. I'm
right.
not. And maybe I'm a hypocrite for not going to bat for it on my end.
Right.
It. But it's like, who's going to bat for the Catholic community right
yeah.
now? Because it's nothing
it's
except
great point.
What I just read. Because you're talking about Jewish
yeah.
with Myers Leonard.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's going to bat for this religion
mm-hmm.
and for this community?
Great point.
And it's not happening.
No.
When you put it all together, it's two. It's two people, two groups of people that theoretically could and should be offended by this.
Yes.
But but if you look past the surface of it, he's not talking about either one of those. All he's talking about is Xavier.
Right.
I mean, that's
I know.
What he's really talking about.
He really
about.
Is.
And he's now, the Catholics and the LGBTQ community has taken the shrapnel here.
Right.
Right? They've gotten it on the other side, but, I mean, I'm just putting it out there.
That's a good
like,
point.
Who's advocating on that side, and who's mad for the Catholics right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, shouldn't Catholics across the country be really mad, too?
Yeah, and you
maybe
know,
not.
There's going to be a lot of people that have other comments when
sure.
I say that. Right?
Oh, yeah, right.
But that's going to be everything in the world. But it struck me right when you said Myers Leonard with everything he went through with the Jewish community,
mm-hmm.
right? I was like, well, who's going to bat
yeah.
on this side of it?
Right.
There's not. It's. But that's what I. But I already said that
mm-hmm.
earlier this week. I
yes.
said if he said the word you thought he said, then
yeah.
we wouldn't be talking about this today. He'd not gotten $1 million taken off of his
no.
contract. I can promise you that. He would not be suspended for 3 games. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
He would have got a slap on the wrist and maybe a fine and maybe send some money to Xavier like that.
yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But other than that, we wouldn't be there. There would not be an uproar about fire Bob Huggins today.
No, not at
if
all.
If he didn't use the wrong F word, which
not at all.
In my mind is part of also what's wrong with the way we react to things and words and how they go about it. Because it's a slur to a lot of people, right? And that's on the top of my mind. But otherwise, I mean, there's so much that I agree with, and I think Ariel Orsuto is very correct about it, that if you just fire him, he just goes off into the sunset and thinks he's wrong, like you said.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
now he's got to actually atone for it and meet some of these people and maybe like Myers Leonard, he'll learn something, right?
Right. I got somebody who says, first offense, my punishment for him is sensitivity training, and that's it. Well, I don't think that should be it. I mean, that's somebody that obviously
be the way it is today.
This is coming from somebody that I don't think has actually talked to anybody from that community when they say that. You know, I mean, and that's what you were just talking about. Like, if you know of people that are in these communities that are offended, then you should talk to them about it. Get their perspective. But if you don't have anybody in these communities, you don't have, you know, if you don't have any Catholic friends, if you want to look from the religious side of it, if you don't have any LGBT or LGBTQ plus friends, then, I mean, you probably don't understand it nearly as well. And so, you know, it's always, we talk about over and over, when it's not in your backyard, when it doesn't affect you, you don't see the big deal, right? We don't. Oh, what's the big deal? Okay, so there's somebody out there. Oh, there's somebody, you know, stealing stuff off of people's back porches. Oh, you know, what's the big deal? Yeah, until somebody steals something you like off your back porch, and then all of a sudden you're mad as hell about it, aren't you? And this is what happens in society. You know, if it doesn't really direct affect us, we either don't care or we overcare and we tell everybody how it should be done. But you have the right to your opinion, don't get me wrong. But no, I would totally disagree with that statement. I don't think the only punishment for him should be sensitivity training. I totally disagree with that. There needs to be more than that, and there clearly is. Now, some people could argue, is it too much over the top? A lot of people will say it's not enough. So, you know what? If there are a lot of people saying it should be more, and there's a lot of people saying it should be more of a punishment, and there's others saying it was too much, then maybe they got it right. I mean, we talk about it as a play-by-play announcer. When two fan bases come to you and say, man, you're biased toward the other team, well, we must have got it right, because if both sides think we're biased towards the other, there's no way we can be. That's impossible to do. Then we must have been right down the middle, and we nailed it. So perhaps this is absolutely correct. They got it right at West Virginia. People that want, you know, Bob Huggins head on a stick because he said what he said, that's a way severe one way. Another one, the severe the other way, was put a slap on the wrist and just do training, whatever it might be. And this is somewhere in between. Whether it's further to this way or that way, that's up to you. So we each have our opinions, and that's okay. But we need to be able to have those opinions and discuss them in a cordial manner, and discuss it without being all, you know, I got somebody just text me and goes, we're all so offended by everything. And that's, I think we are. I think we're on guard. I think we are easily offended. I think we have thin skin. I think many of us are that way, if not all of us. I think that's a great point. I will say that if it's a high profile person that has a platform and they say things and they get away with it, that is a dangerous precedent. At the same time, you got to figure out what's the correct punishment, and nobody's going to agree on that. So there is no black and white to this. This is a gray area across the board for every single person that thinks about it. And there will be another one of these, trust me. There will be another broadcaster. There will be another coach or athlete that's going to say something that's going to offend a community. Trust me on this. It's happened many times over the years. It will continue to happen. It just seems like over the years we have seen the immediate, you know, basically put them in front of a firing squad, put them on the death chair. Dude, they said something and offended somebody, but I don't think we need to go that far. But and that's where you talk about the cancel culture. Are we going too far with things? And so I respect all people's opinions out there. I have my thoughts on it, clearly. We all do, but the people most affected in this thing is not me or Dusty or Todd, who texted me, or other people that have texted me. We're not really affected by this. It's something to talk about. People affected by this are people in those communities. People in particular, you know, who's really affected by this is, if Bob Huggins was fired, I mean, people are affected by this is people that work for the men's basketball team in West Virginia. They're affected by this big time. The university is affected by this big time. People you don't even know behind the scenes that work and do some of the tough stuff, administrative work, they're affected by this big time. People in these communities that are offended clearly are affected. But like I said just a moment ago, if you don't know anybody in these communities that have had things thrown at them or said about them, or words have been used loosely, then it's going to be hard for you to get it. And the only way for you to maybe get it is if somebody offends you based on your religion or the way you look. You know, like if you're a person out there that blows all this stuff off, you're like, we're too thin-skinned. But somebody comes up to you at a restaurant and you've got a big, huge meal on your plate. Somebody comes up and calls you a fat bleep. Isn't that going to bother you?
In general,
or
yeah.
Or somebody comes up to you and you've had your third margarita on Cinco de Mayo like I did. Actually, I had two. And somebody comes up to you and go, man, Gershner, you're bleeping drunk. That's going to affect you. Mm-hmm. That's going to bother you. You're going to be like, wow, is there a reputation now that I am drinking all the time? Is there a reputation I'm just a fat, you know what? You know, or, you know, Dinus, you lazy bleep. Okay, is there a reputation that I don't work hard?
Mm-hmm.
And that offends you. Does it offend a whole community? No, but it hurts you, right? Now, whether it bothers you for 24 hours, whether it bothers you for 2 days, whether you want to get if it's an employee, if a waiter comes up to your table and calls you a fat slob, are you going to brush it off or are you going to demand that person get fired? There's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Like either are you going to let it roll off or are you going to make a big scene about it? And it seems like, once again, it seems like, because I think of all the social media, they don't put the stuff. There aren't videos out there showing the guy that brushes it off. All the videos always about the guy or gal that overreacts and makes a scene. So it might not be as bad as we think it is. It just might be tied to the media and social media showing all that and everything going viral. But I do think we need to stop and we need to think a little bit more before. And I said it and I'll say it again. I am one of those people. We got to think a little bit more before we shoot our mouse off. We got to think a little bit more before we post something on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or wherever it is. We got to be careful with the knee-jerk reactions. And we've got to be careful to judge people that we don't even know. We also got to be careful to understand what other communities might be dealing with, because you know what? We all have our communities. If you live in the farm, you still have your town nearby. That's a community. You might have four or five people, farmers that live in a span of 8 miles. That's still a community of sorts, right? Your school is a community. Your students are a community. You're kind of a fraternity or community, teachers, administrators, bank employees, working at an auto dealership, the radio station, the grocery store. We're all a community. There's all kinds. There's millions of communities out there. And we got it. You know, Bob Huggins has learned, I think, that I got to be a little bit careful, more careful what I say and how I say it, obviously. And I think we're all probably guilty of that. So then the last question comes to, if you say something that offends somebody, should you be fired immediately? Should you be let off scot-free and then you think it's okay to keep saying those things? I think those are the two questions I've got here. If you think Bob Huggins shouldn't have to deal with much, then you're basically saying that, if he does it again, it's not that big a deal. There'll be a little bit more of a punishment. And then the third time, you're like, just, you don't see it as a big deal. Or you could be the opposite and you're just like, oh my God, that's a no-doubter. Can him. And like we always talk about, Mike Schrant, he's no longer with us, our news director. Him and I had arguments and disagreements and discussions off the air that were very, very entertaining, I'm sure, if they were on the air. Sometimes they were on the air. And one of the things that Mike always said is, like, there's nothing that's black and white. There's nothing that's black and white. That's what he would say.
Mm.
He's always like, there's all there is gray, Wade. Everything's left up for interpretation, rationalization. He told me that over and over. And I was like, well, it is black and white that Tiger Woods is got the second most majors in golf history behind Jack Nicklaus. That is not gray. That's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And he would kind of go, those type of things are black and white. But he's like, anything up for interpretation is never black and white. And so this is all interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, how he said what he said, when he said it, how many times he said it, and then it's all up for interpretation on whether or not you think it's a horrible punishment, a perfect punishment for Huggins. Is it too much? It's too little. Should he be fired? Should he not be fired? That it is all gray. It is all gray. But yet, many of us out there, what do we try to make it? Well, it's just black and white. You got to see it my way or the highway. No, but it's not. See, there's where you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's as Mike Schrant. We miss him. He's looking down on us, probably going, "Dear Lord, shut up, move on." It's not as simple as you think. I'll leave it at that.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.